to be a sheep today. I don't know if you've ever thought of yourself as a sheep, but that's what the Scripture invites us to think of ourselves as this morning. As a sheep in a tiny little flock, while all around us are the wolves and the evil forces waiting to snatch us up and scatter us about. Interesting words that the Bible uses. Wolves coming after us to snatch us up and scatter us about. I suppose there have been weeks, maybe days, that you can remember where you have felt like being snatched up and like you were being scattered all about. Time is probably too short for us to share all of our stories of times when it feels like wolves are after us. So it's good news. It's good news to hear the Scripture this morning. When Jesus comes to us, tiny little Bethel flock, with us little sheep huddled together on a Sunday morning, and Jesus saying to us, I'm the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Little sheep, you don't have to be alone anymore. Little Bethel flock, you don't have to worry about those wolves anymore, because I'm the good shepherd, Jesus says. And he gives us two reasons why he is the good shepherd, not just any old shepherd, not like the hired owner of the sheep, but the good shepherd. Jesus says, first of all, he lays down his life for us. He puts his life on the line for us to protect us, to keep us from any evil forces coming our way. And in fact, that's what Jesus did on the cross. Laid down his life so that we can hide under the shadow of the cross and be protected from any of the evil forces around us. The second reason that Jesus is the good shepherd, he says, is that he knows us each by name. We are his and he is ours. That's a good relationship. He's not just any old shepherd that looks at sheep like inventory or stock. But Jesus has a vested interest in each and every one of you. Knows you each by name. You're not sheep to Jesus. You're relatives. That's good news. It's good news that we have a good shepherd like that. Now, it'd be all fine and dandy if we all just kind of left church this morning with those two statements ringing in our ears. But you know, the reality is, it's a lot tougher to believe and to live that Jesus is the good shepherd than to just hear it. Why is that? Because we're sheep. That's why. Because sheep are stubborn. Because sheep like to wander their own way. We like to go off on our own and we like to find ourselves in trouble. And sometimes, even though we've heard that Jesus is the good shepherd, it's tough to be led by the good shepherd. Let me tell you a story. It's a story that comes from Scotland, where they raise a lot of sheep, I hear. I've never been to Scotland, and I've never seen sheep in Scotland, but this is what I understand sheep to be like in Scotland. That there are, in Scotland, a lot of hills and a lot of cliffs and a lot of ravines. And it's surprising to hear that on those treacherous places, they raise sheep. Lots of green grass and rolling pastures, and so you find sheep all the time spotted along the countryside in places that you wouldn't expect sheep to like to graze. But they do. And every once in a while, a sheep will start to think that it is the shepherd and start to wander off on its own. And there are some occasions when a sheep will accidentally fall off a little cliff 10 feet down and look behind it and see that it had fallen from about 10 feet up. And it will try to work its way back up, but there's no way because the cliff is too high. And so it'll try to work its way around it and find that, lo and behold, just a few steps beyond it is a chasm several hundred feet down. So if you could imagine yourself as a little sheep in this situation, you look to your right and there is a 10-foot precipice that you can't scale, and you look to your left and there is a 100-foot chasm that you dare not fall off. You are caught between a cliff and a chasm. Not quite a rock in a hard place, but a cliff and a chasm. And I'm sure that many of you have had weeks like that. Right? Interesting thing that the Scottish people do. They don't go after those sheep right away. You might be surprised. You might think that the responsible shepherd might find that one of the sheep is lost and discover where it is and jump right into it and try to grab that sheep and carry it up to safety. But they don't do that. Why don't they do that? Because if they tried to do that, the sheep would jump probably off that 100-foot chasm to its death. Sheep are stupid. Nothing personal, but we're pretty stupid. What do the Scottish people do? Well, what they do is they just wait. And they let that sheep discover its situation and figure out what a mess it's in, and they just let that sheep stew and stew and even starve, and even to the point where that sheep becomes so faint that it can't move anymore. And that's very important. Because once that sheep is unable to move on its own, then it's unable to run away from the shepherd. And it's at that moment when the shepherd discovers that the sheep has lost its will to lead its own, the shepherd comes in, walks right up, and graciously puts a rope around it and leads it home. It's a good story. It's a good story about sheep like us who might find ourselves between cliffs and chasms in life and wonder why it is that we are growing faint and weary from all of our trying. And we wonder, where in the world are you, God? Because we have been crying and praying to you to come and find us. And it's at that point where we become faint and weak that the good shepherd comes and says, now I can lead you. Do you find yourself in that situation this morning? If you do, then I'd suggest that you pray. That's what this Lent has been about, right? This is the third Sunday in Lent, and every Sunday in Lent we are talking about how to pray. And it is vital for us as sheep in the world's pastures to discover that we can be led by a good shepherd, that we need to learn how to pray, and that we need to learn how to follow God once again. I think I've shared this story with you once before. It's a story about a young woman who wanted to go to college. She was in high school, she was a senior, and it was about this time of year that the woman was trying to fill out all sorts of applications for college. And she had applied to numerous colleges and had yet to receive a word, but she filled out this one application in particular. And on the back of the application was an essay that she was supposed to write. Those of you who've applied to college know that there are essays involved with every application. And this was the essay that she was supposed to write to this college that she really wanted to get into. The essay said simply, "Are you a leader?" Simple question. And she was to write a lengthy essay answering the question, "Are you a leader?" This girl's heart sank, because she knew truly and honestly and deeply that she was not too much of a leader. But she was full of integrity and good conscience, and so she wrote simply on that long blank page, "No," and turned it in. She knew she could kiss the prospects of that college goodbye. This college had to be looking for leaders, after all. This college was looking for the future doctors and lawyers and politicians and great outstanding citizens of the community to come to their college. They were looking for leaders, so the girl thought. So she thought to herself, there is no way I would ever get into this college because I'm not a leader. She was surprised to hear a few days later from a letter that this college sent to her. It said, "Dear applicant, a study of the application forms received by this college reveals that this year our college will have 1,452 new leaders. We are accepting you because we feel it is imperative that they all have at least one follower." This is the question that God poses to us this morning. As a sheep in God's flock, are you a leader or are you a follower? And all God's looking for is for sheep who will say, "We want to follow you. We don't want to lead anymore." Because when we lead, we wind up in bad situations. We wind up in some sticky messes. And we wind up trying all the harder, but growing the more faint and weaker. And so, God, all we want is for you to lead us. You know what we prayed this morning as part of the Lord's Prayer? We prayed, oh God, lead us not into temptation, right? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And I don't know about you, but it's a part of the Lord's Prayer that I tend to say rather quickly. Because it's a phrase that's part of the Lord's Prayer, but it's tough to think about. Does God really lead us into temptation? I don't know, but if I say it quickly enough, maybe I can just skip over to, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That part I like. But you know, this is an important part of the Lord's Prayer because of those two words. Those two words that solidify the relationship that we have with God. The two words are, lead us. Lead us, O Lord. We are sheep and you are the good shepherd. And we know that while there is evil and temptation and violence all around us, we cannot lead ourselves away from these things. And so you, O Lord, we ask, simply lead us. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we must believe it. We must believe that there is only one person worth following in the world. And this goes against our human nature. Because as humans, even as little kids, we are taught to think independently and to not just follow any whim or whimsy that the world offers us. We have learned not to simply follow anybody who calls us to follow them. But there is one person that we can follow with good faith, knowing for sure that this one will lead us away from temptation and away from evil, and that is God. Our good shepherd. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, let us believe it. Lead us, O Lord, from temptation and deliver us from evil. Can I share with you a story about Elizabeth Elliot? Those of you who were at Women's Morning Circle last Wednesday heard the name Elizabeth Elliot. Christine Calcagno came back and shared with us a story about who she was. She is a remarkable woman, Elizabeth Elliot, and it's someone that should not have been famous. Someone that we really should not know anything about. Because she was content to hide in the shadow of her husband, Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot was a missionary, a strong Christian who was called by God to serve as a missionary, not in this country, but in South America, to the Aka Indians. To a tribe down there. And so Jim Elliot went down with some other missionaries to share the good news with this group of people down in South America who had never heard about God or received God's love. And do you know what happened? The Indians down there killed Jim Elliot. Were troubled by his words. And so Jim Elliot died. And Elizabeth Elliot became a widow. Elizabeth became a widow because her husband was called by God to share the good news with people and then gave his life because of it. Now, if you were Elizabeth Elliot, what would you do? I know what I would do. I would question God. I would be angry. I would say, I've had enough of being a sheep. I'm going to start being the shepherd and I'm going to start doing my own thing. But you know what? Elizabeth didn't say that. One night I imagine Elizabeth prayed a prayer something like this. Lead me, O God. Lead me. Show me what to do. And do you know what God called Elizabeth to do? God called Elizabeth to go back to that same group of people down in South America who killed her husband and continue the work that her husband was doing. And do you know that because of this woman's faithfulness, many in that group gave their lives to God? What courage and what incredible fortitude Elizabeth expressed in her life. Not because she wanted to be the shepherd, but because she wanted to be the sheep. And simply go where God called her to go and do what God called her to do. Despite all of the evil around her, she went. And she did. I want to invite you this morning to think about asking God to lead you. You know, Elizabeth Elliot shares this wonderful story. This wonderful story. When she was down there in South America, next to the Andes Mountains, a group of adventurers came to her. American adventurers who were wanting to scale the Andes came to her. And they came with all sorts of wonderful equipment, everything that you could possibly imagine to survive in the wild of the Andes Mountains. They came to her with all sorts of instruments and food and equipment. But there was one problem. There was a problem because even though they had all of this wonderful equipment, they didn't know where they were going. They had a map, but they didn't have a guide. They had a book, but they didn't have any experience there. And they needed someone who had been there before to show them where to go. And Elizabeth says in one of her books, "Sometimes we come to God just as those two adventurers came to me, confident and well-informed and well-equipped. But it has occurred to us that in all of our accumulation of stuff and material and instruments and goodness, something is missing. And what is missing is the relationship with the guide, knowing someone who has been there before, the good shepherd who can lead us." As you pray your prayers this week, I invite you to simply pray the prayer of "lead us." And listen as to where God wants you to go. And perhaps this week you'll try something a little different. Something that I've discovered in my time here at Bethel as a way of praying that God will lead us. It's called praying through the Scriptures. It's kind of a model for prayer that was given to us centuries ago by a wonderful Christian woman named Madame Guyon. And I've given you on the back of your bulletin insert a simple guide as to how you might read through the Scriptures. I won't go through that guide with you this morning, but please take this home. Prayerfully consider it, because it is a wonderful way of praying with your Bible open. Have you ever done that before? Not just to read the Scriptures to figure out what it says, not just an academic exercise, but to pray through the words of Scripture, slowly and carefully. And the power of doing it this way is that you become like a bee, Madame Guyon says, like a bee in a beautiful forest of flowers. And you know that bees don't just skim over flower to flower to flower to flower. They stop at each flower and drink all of its nectar deeply and richly and then move on to the next flower. Well, this forest is like our Bible. And the words are like those flowers, each one of them powerful and rich and worthy of your individual attention. And perhaps this morning you might be called to pray through the Scriptures the way she suggests. This morning I want to invite you to the altar rail, as we will do every Sunday during Lent. And perhaps your prayer will be a simple one. Lead me, O God. Lead me into the ways that you want me to go and to do what you want me to do. I'm tired of trying to lead my own life. I want you to be the good shepherd in my life once again. Call me once again to be your sheep. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for calling us to be your flock, and for protecting us, and for knowing us each by name. Forgive us for those times when we try to go off on our own way, even right now, as many of us struggle with the direction that our lives are to go. Teach us to be humble, teach us to yield, and teach us to let you lead us to greener pastures, to sweeter grass, to hills more beautiful than we have ever seen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may come forward if you wish.